Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. Now, if you're a regular listener, you know that we love to talk about where to eat in New York City. The classics, the most affordable, sometimes by cuisine. We've covered everything from where to find the best ramen to where fancy chefs go for cheap eats. So when we caught wind of John Donahue's new book, All the Restaurants in New York, we couldn't resist. The former New Yorker editor and cartoonist also runs a website of the same name, which documents the city's restaurants through Donahue's own pen and ink drawings. New York Magazine restaurant critic Adam Platt called John Donahue the Rembrandt of New York City's restaurant facades. John's book came out just yesterday. Congratulations. And you can hear John Donahue in conversation with Amanda Clute, the editor-in-chief of Eater, tomorrow, Thursday, May 16th, at the Powerhouse Brooks in Brooklyn. But he's here right now. Thanks for coming down to the studio, John.
Thank you for having me, Allison.
So you write about the restaurants of New York, quote, "We turn to restaurants for something more than food, we New Yorkers." What do we turn to them for?
Oh, I think just about everything sometimes. I mean, there's that classic sense of the classic Manhattan refrigerator, right, which is empty, you know. And I'm dating myself, but this is even before, like, the rise of Postmates and things like that. I think, you know, people don't really cook for themselves in New York. They're too busy doing other things. Although I cook a lot. In the previous book, I did involve a lot of cooking.
But the idea is that restaurants are where we gather. It's where we see our friends.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's where the root of the word restaurant is French, and I'll mispronounce it, but it comes from the French verb to restore. And so if you look at the kind of evolution of the word as a concept, it didn't really even exist, you know, 200 years ago in the way that we know it now. But it's a place for where food obviously is important, but I think food can often be a pretext for other things, connecting with other people, connecting with your friends. And I joke about it in the intro, but, you know, sometimes there's, you know, it's easier to socialize in a restaurant because there's more bathrooms in a restaurant than in your apartment.
Now, you guesstimate that there are about 24,000 restaurants in New York City, that one's opening right now and one's closing right now as we speak, probably somewhere. Which restaurants did you know you really wanted to have in the book?
There were lots of them. I mean, there's just so many that are so meaningful and iconic to New York. Everything from Junior's Cheesecake in downtown Brooklyn to Per Se, Keen Steakhouse, Peter Luger Steakhouse. There's just so many that are right on the tips of everyone's tongue.
So you went for the classics. You knew there were certain classic ones. So now, how did you decide on the rest of the restaurants? You know, I expected to see the classics in there, but I'm interested in the other choices you made.
Well, I did a little bit of triangulation between sources, you know, if people that I trusted recommended places, if the place was noteworthy because of the chef or the food, I just went to do it. You know, really, it's based on how meaningful these places are to people and how people connect to them. And a lot of the places in the book really came out of my website, because I would get requests for places. People would ask me to draw places, and so I would draw them, and then they'd have some kind of connection to the place.
Oh, that's so interesting. Usually when someone has a connection, what kind?
Well, it can be romantic or professional. It's like a first date, they got married, or they had, you know, like an important business meeting there, that kind of thing.
So you describe, it's interesting, the book, there are sometimes there are long paragraphs of descriptions next to the pictures, and then sometimes it's just one word, like Junior's, it just says cheesecake.
Right.
Who's writing these? How did you decide to draw people in?
I wrote the descriptions. I wanted the drawings to kind of speak for themselves. I use a lot of white space, and there's a lot of space in my drawing, and I felt like I didn't need to really add too much text to the book because people know the places. Maybe there's a little bit of an explanation if you're not too familiar with it, but I didn't want the writing to take away from the drawing. And then at the same time, I wanted to add some element of this connection and have stories from people who go to different places. And those are the longer pieces. They're interviews with patrons and owners and things like that.
What is your process? Can you describe the process of once you decide you're going to camp out?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's really kind of fascinating. It's a kind of a high wire act, because I draw in ink from life. I don't do any pencil drawing. I go and I stand in front of the place, and I just put my pen to paper, and it's a pen. So if I make a mistake, it's like, got to live with it. But, you know, there's that truism of 10,000 hours, right, from Malcolm Gladwell. And I've been drawing for a really long time. And I practice every day, even when I'm not drawing restaurants. I draw every morning when I wake up. The first thing I do is I draw this little toy duck that I draw. And I put like a self-helpy aphorism on it. It's a mental health thing. And actually the genesis of this project comes out of my habit of drawing my dish rack every night. So every night I draw my dish rack. And because I, like I said, I did a book a while ago and I have two kids and I cook a lot and I'm in the kitchen.
I heard you once describe that dish rack as like a still life.
Yeah, it's like an automatic still life. It's like it formulates itself, and it's like our kids growing up. They change right in front of you, but you don't realize they change. So I have this practice where I draw for mental health reasons. It just helps me be a better person, more present in the moment. And then so my interest in food, I thought, oh well, I'll take it to restaurants. So, you know, move from the kitchen from sort of literally from inside the kitchen to outside, in front of the restaurant.
I'm not going to forget about it's a duck.
A duck.
You're not getting away. A duck? Always been a duck?
Well, it's this toy. It's wind-up toy that my wife had around the house. It was given to her. It's one of those tin, like, 19th century toys. It's not an antique or anything. You can still buy them. And it was just the right sort of shape and size to be able to do in about 10 or 15 minutes. And the amount of difficulty that was... It was a little more challenging when I started it 2 years ago or so, but it's sufficiently, I can render it sufficiently to make it recognizable, so that's useful. And it really just sort of sets my mind in a way, and my tenor for the day, like it just can't be beat.
Positive duck affirmations. Did not expect to hear that on the radio this morning.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of out there. I know. So I looked at restaurants. I wanted to figure out a way to get my drawing into my life more, which means when you have... a wife and a family, you need to make it pay. So I looked to it for a way to make it commercialized, and so I decided to do restaurants and see if people would be interested, and they were.
The name of the book is All the Restaurants in New York. It's by John Donahue. So it's interesting. Some of them are just facades, and then sometimes you bring us inside of the restaurant. For example, you mentioned Keen's, sort of a classic.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about Keen's that you wanted to share more of the restaurant with us, and what did you end up drawing?
Well, Keen's is a great example because it has a more interesting history than a lot of places, just because it's been around longer, and it also has these pipes that these clay pipes that are there. There's like MacArthur's pipe is there, and everybody, all these actors from the 19th century, because that's where the theater district was really centered further south at that time. So there's a lot of famous actors from the 19th century, they have their pipes. And so there's all these clay pipes on the ceiling, and there's clay pipes in storage. I mean, there's like thousands, I don't know, making that up, but there's there's a lot of clay pipes. I don't know how many they have. Someone at Keen's might know. Hopefully they do. So there was that to look at. I was interested in drawing some objects that captured the essence of the space.
Now, do you go in every restaurant that you've drawn?
Well, not exactly. I generally don't go into the restaurant just because of it takes time and money, and those are two things that are in short supply for me. So I end up just spending time outside the restaurant.
Have you ever been approached by an owner or someone who's seen you while you're drawing?
Yeah, that's happened a couple times. Two summers ago, I was drawing the French Bistro in the East Village, Lucien, and the owner came out and wondered what I was doing and was interested, and then ended up inviting me in for a meal, which was nice. Yeah.
You include Delmonico's. It was so interesting because it's another classic, but it's got a really interesting history that I had no idea about.
Right, yeah. It's where the baked Alaska was invented, and it has... I think it's maybe like the first restaurant in New York, you know, as such. I'm not really a restaurant historian, so you can't quote me on things, but it is definitely the center of the culinary origins for New York.
How do you see some of these restaurants representing New York City's history?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, the thing you mentioned, there's 24,000 restaurants, which is a figure I got from an article in The New Yorker about the critic Pete Wells. So I thought that's pretty trustworthy. I'll just go with that. And you mentioned that the number's always changing. So when you see the restaurants in the book, you see the history almost changing in front of your eyes. And that's the thing about New York, right? Like, it's, you walk down a block, you haven't been down that block in 6 months, and you're like, what happened to that block? Mm-hmm. It's like everything is changing all the time. And so day to day, we're so busy in New York, we don't necessarily notice that. But the book is now becoming a document of, you know, what is now, and sort of what was, because a couple of the places have closed. And so you get that sense of history really changing.
Yeah, I saw Cornelius Street Cafe. Mm-hmm. It choked up a little bit.
I know. And that, and Cafe Lou, mm-hmm. Which is a Publishing World kind of favorite. There's, which other ones? I forget right now. Tertulia, which mm-hmm. I was surprised by because it was always very busy. But you never know, like, what the story is. Or the Red Cat, it was not going to happen anymore.
My guest is John Donahue. The name of his book is All the Restaurants in New York. It's this really great collection of penned ink drawings of facades of some of New York's greatest, most famous, and some of New York's most interesting restaurant. Which place did you include in here that might be controversial?
Well, I suppose when you're talking about food in New York, every place is controversial. So it's hard to answer that question. You know, everybody has their opinions, right, about places. And so there's going to be ones that people approve of or disapprove of or wonder why are there, or wonder ones why ones aren't there, that kind of thing. So
I'm curious about Shake Shack's inclusion.
Oh, okay. Well, Shake Shack is a kind of interesting project. First of all, it's that's the first one. I did the first one in Madison Park, and it just became such a thing. It became so busy, and I think really just from a kind of layman's take on the restaurant business, it was an ingenious way to move into a higher margin part of the restaurant business, because essentially what it is it's high-end fast food, like all of these like fresh burgers, organic burgers, all those organic burger places you see like all over Park Slope mm-hmm. or whatever. It's just high-end fast food. And so it became, became very profitable. It went off, it became public. It's a public company now. It's traded. It's all over the place. So I felt like I couldn't miss it, really, to have it in there.
That's interesting. When I hear you describe it, it's sort of a little bit of the history of the restaurant in New York. It sort of has its own little interesting place in that story.
Mm-hmm.
The book is broken up into neighborhoods. You know, as an artist and you looking at all the facades of all these buildings, did you notice any architectural details? Did they shift borough to borough?
Well, you get a lot of sort of, like Delmonico's is a good example. There's a lot more classic buildings in lower Manhattan. And then, you know, out in the outer boroughs, you get maybe, depends on where you are, it could be a simple facade, or depends also on the cuisine. You know, there's some Thai places that have very simple facade. And, the architecture just is the way it is in New York. It's kind of all over.
It's interesting. We got a call from someone named Elizabeth in Brooklyn. She called in to say apparently the inner columns at the entrance to Delmonico's come from Pompeii.
Yeah, that's the story.
We're going with it.
That's what they say. It's the ones on the front. It's like a lot of things with fish. You know, you don't know what you're eating necessarily. It's hard to verify what's on the menu, and it's hard to verify what's in the history.
We've talked a lot about Brooklyn and Manhattan, but who represents for Queens, the Bronx, and Staten Island in your book?
Well, I have M. Wells in Queens, which is it's Queens, but it's not, like, Queens is huge. It has the biggest
yes.
ethnic diversity, right, of any place in the city. I have a Greek place from Astoria, and I have a Thai place. On Staten Island, I have a Sri Lankan place, because there's actually a big Sri Lankan community on Staten Island. And then I have, there's La Nona's restaurant, the restaurant where all the grandmothers cook.
Yeah.
So I have that one. And in the Bronx, I have 188 Cuchafritos, might be mispronouncing it, and then a couple from Arthur Avenue. Yeah.
My guest is John Donahue. The name of his book is All the Restaurants in New York. Beautiful pen and ink sketchings of drawings of the facades of some of New York's greatest restaurants. If you go online, you did a Facebook Live where you were standing on the corner in the Lower East Side drawing Katz's.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And it was interesting because at one point you said, my concentration, I don't know if I can do this.
Yes.
What was distracting to you?
Well, that's the thing about drawing is it just really puts me in this other space. And I can't really talk when I'm doing it. So I was drawing a place the other day and I was standing in the street and I realized I was standing in a parking spot and somebody wanted to park there. So
no.
I was like, I had to move. But when I was drawing cats, as I was standing in the middle of Houston Street on the traffic island, and I have to be careful because I could get hurt because I'm so much in this zone. But the reporter on the Facebook Live, you know, that doesn't really work for a story to just have me there by myself drawing quietly. So we were talking. And Katz's is not a hard place to draw, but it's not an easy place to draw. And none of this is like hard or easy. I guess those are all value judgments. So it's like, but I do have to do it convincingly. It's like writing fiction. You know, you have to have a suspension of disbelief. It has to make sense on the page. And it was just really hard to concentrate.
Now, I'm not your agent, but I went on your website and I was so excited to see that you can buy prints of some of these. And one of the one that Cucina de Pesce, because when I was first came to New York and I, you know, was making the princely sum of $16,000 a year.
The muscles in the wine. Yes. Yeah.
Every broke young person in New York knew about the muscles in the wine for free.
Sure. Yes.
During a happy hour.
Yeah. So I sell prints. That's how the project started. I sell prints on allthestaurants.com. And I sell, all my prints are limited edition. They're signed, but they're limited editions of 365. So each one becomes a beautiful reminder of how our days are numbered. And because drawing for me is what, it really puts me in this moment. And I want everybody to try to stay in the moment and not, you know, live in their past regrets or live in their future worries, but just stay in the moment. And I think that's one of the reasons people are attracted to the prints is because they look at the place and they remember that moment. You know, they remember just that one moment when they were there, or that one happy memory that they have with it.
The name of the book is All the Restaurants in New York. John Donahue, thanks for coming on All of It.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC.